Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone. Episode 526 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and we now know the results of the 2022 draft lottery, which means the draft order is set. Congratulations to the Orlando Magic. They won the number one pick. So we are going to go through the results of the lottery and the biggest storylines to come as a result from it. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. And we're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today is someone who I know also misses the glory days of the lottery, Morten Jensen. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I got to say, though, I don't know if it's because we've had like three seasons that's just been jumbled together.
Sure.
But it felt like we had a draft lottery like just a few months ago.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we did, really. Like, it's right. It hasn't been a full 12 months, that's for sure. So, yeah, it's... Everything is blending together, but not for the Orlando Magic, who have won the lottery for the fourth time in franchise history, as I'm sure you have seen the jokes out there, but they have taken a future Hall of Fame center every single time, and then that center typically goes on to win a championship for the Lakers. So whoever they choose, congratulations to future Laker Jabari Smith, perhaps. But let's start with the Magic, Mort.
Right.
Because this is not a class where there's like a Zion Williamson, where it's just like, this guy is so clearly the no-brainer number one pick. It's not even worth debating. The real draft starts at two. It seems like
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying in terms of, you know, I haven't seen consensus from
evaluators.
I've seen a lot of... It seems like there's a clear tier of three guys. So,
yeah.
Who do you think is this?
Chet okay. Holmgren. I mean, I'm sorry, but he's undoubtedly the guy with the most potential. I mean, I that's not even a discussion. If people are arguing that Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero have more, and I just learned, by the way, that it's meant Banchero and not Banchero, that's interesting. By the way, if you guys out there are wondering why my audio is going to go down, it's because I'm going to turn myself down a little bit. I'm seeing it's really jumping here. So apologies. This should be better so you don't hear me scream in your ear. Holmgren, to me, is like the clear-cut number one guy, because when you have the number one pick in the draft, you have to swing big. I mean, that's the entire point of the draft. That is... You have to go out there and you have to find that guy who can become an organizational player for you, like one of those foundation pieces. That's Holmgren if he hits. I don't believe in being conservative when you have the top pick. Like Paolo Banchero has a high floor, absolutely. And I would argue Jabari Smith does as well. But the upside level of those two guys compared to Holmgren are just not in the same tier. And I would also argue that Holmgren does have a floor that's pretty decent. I don't know why he's being painted as someone who could just fall through like Michael Olowokandi or Anthony Bennett. Like, at the very, very worst, He's a floor spacing shot blocker who can rebound the basketball. Like, seems paid through the nose for that kind of guy. Like, right now. That is, like, and that's his baseline, Bri. That's his baseline. That is, like, the worst case scenario, that he just does that. Now comes the playmaking. Then comes the overall defensive impact. Now comes the scoring. Now comes the improved body over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. Like, I am absolutely going with Chet Holmgren here.
So I'm guessing, I don't think I've seen, has his measurements come in from the combine, or is he even at the combine to get official measurements?
I haven't seen. I followed pretty intensely earlier Jonathan Givony, who was updating all the, but I don't believe I saw Holmgren, and I'm not sure if he's even at the combine. But eventually, I'm pretty sure we'll get his measurements. I mean, he's 7 foot tall. Yeah, he's skinny as all hell, but you know what?
What I was alluding to. I'm wondering if we've gotten his official weight yet, and I would assume that is one of the big concerns about him.
No, I don't know if it should be. KD was a stick when he came in. So was Kevin Garnett. I don't know why we're sitting. Giannis, too, for that matter. Like, I don't know why we're acting as if that he can't get a stronger frame. Like, that he can't put weight on himself. Like, of course he can. Of course he can. Now, there is one thing I do think is worth noting, and that is he's a full year older than Jabari Smith, which, fair enough. Like, you have to wonder if that year does make a difference in terms of potential, but overall, the skill set just tells me that I would rather jump on that wagon.
So, I mean, regardless, unless they trade down, it seems like they're going to take a big, to some extent, like, whether it's Banchero, Smith, or Holmgren.
Right.
They already have Wendell Carter Jr. on the roster, who played well last season.
Yes, he did.
They also have Mo Bamba, who is now going to be a restricted free agent this summer. So, do you think any of these prospects can fit alongside Wendell, or would one guy be a better fit than another, or should they just completely disregard that and, like, say, you know, as much as we like what Wendell gave us last season, you know, this person who we pick at number one is going to be our franchise cornerstone, and we are going to worry about fit with him, not the other way. Like, not
correct.
You know, how does this player fit with the guys currently on our roster?
Yeah, that's that last one for sure. Absolutely. I mean, you can't sit here and go, oh yeah, Wendell Carter Jr., who had one good year after coming to a new situation, is the guy that we're betting on, as opposed to this number one overall draft pick who can actually become a franchise player. Right. And that's not me crapping on Wendell, because, like, he's good. But if there's that positional overlap where they can't work together, then you got to make that choice. I think this is a good problem to have, so to say. And look, right now, I don't really think it's impossible for those guys to play together. Why would it be? I mean, you have Carter, who's, like, big and sturdy. Then you have Holmgren, who's very fluid, who can handle, who can pass, who can also play on the perimeter. Like, they don't occupy the same space on the floor necessarily. And hell, even Carter has begun shooting the basketball, so they can interchange from the big position. Like, you won't see either of them get camped in the lane, and you won't see, you know, both of them just hunting for three-point shots all the time. Like, they can mix it up a great deal. So I don't think that that is out of the realm of possibility. I think Holmgren as well, while we love to label guys with positions, he's just a basketball player. Like, you can throw him in at the four. That's not a problem. He's got the foot speed. He's got the passing angles. Like, you can use him in a wide variety of ways. I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, okay. So then what does it mean for Bamba? Do you think he is officially going to be looking for a new home this summer?
Bye-bye, Bamba.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because I mean, he's a guy, especially for teams that are looking for a potential answer at center and perhaps miss out on DeAndre Ayton if he does wind up leaving Phoenix. Bamba's a guy that I would gamble on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And look, they may try, and I think they should, to go the whole, you know, sign and trade route. with mm-hmm. him, because mm-hmm. I don't think they should try to just cut bait. I think that's the wrong approach. I mean, this is a guy, after all, who averaged 10.5 points, 8 rebounds, almost 2 blocks, shot 38 from 3. That's not bad. I mean, yeah, he does have some shortcomings that will always be in his game, and that is just the nature of it. But, like, let's say I'm Indiana, and I move on from Miles Turner. Like, let's say that Dame gets his wish, and Miles Turner ends up in Portland, and they mm-hmm. need a new center. And they need someone who might not cost a farm. Well, Mo Bamba's right there. Maybe you can facilitate a sign and trade.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Charlotte's the team.
Yeah.
Anytime you mention young center, they're the team that's going to come to mind immediately.
But they have two picks, though, 13 and 15. Yeah, so I wonder if they're just going to, like, why would you, if you're thinking about this from a financial perspective, why would you go out and try to get him, like, in terms of paying more money? Because he's absolutely going to cost you, at the very least, 12, if not 15 million a year. Mm-hmm. Whereas you could just go with a center, like at 13 or 15, like a Mark Williams out of Duke who tested great.
Yeah, I saw. Good Lord. I mean, it depends on what Charlotte is hoping to accomplish. Like, I don't think they want, unless it's a high prospect, which they did not win one of those picks. So, like, are they going to be able to trust whoever they take at 13 or 15 to start right away over Mason Plumlee? Or, you know, would they look to use Plumlee's contract as the salary filler in a potential, like, maybe you do Plumlee and 13 or 15 for Bamba in a sign and trade?
Yeah, after July 1st.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, have it. I don't know how you can make this work. Maybe just call the Magic ahead of time, because Lord knows we don't have tampering. So they can't. Of course, the Hornets could not contact Mo Bamba before July 1st. But, just call the Magic and be like, hey, who would you be interested in? Just hypothetically, around 13 or 15.
I really think it would behoove the NBA to actually get moving on this one, where we know that the sign and trade is back. Why not get ahead of it and then say, okay, if you are a restricted free agent, we know that we're going to go into the draft. The draft is like, what, a week before free agency?
Yeah.
Like, let's make a special rule where teams can begin to plan ahead with those guys. Like, just mm-hmm. make it legal in a certain capacity.
Yeah. I mean, it ties teams' hands, and, like, of course they are working around this, because it is stupid that their hands are tied to this extent when, like, you know, something like that would make sense for both sides, frankly. Like, Charlotte doesn't need two, you know, mid-first round picks coming in necessarily. They would probably prefer someone like Bamba, but, like, because they hypothetically can't contact him before July 1st.
Right.
Like, you know, Mason Plumlee's in the last year of his deal, so no sweat off Orlando's back if they take him for 1 year and get an extra, you know, late lottery or mid first round pick for a guy who they weren't planning on re-signing anyway. Like, it's a beneficial move for both sides, but the NBA won't, quote unquote, won't allow it to those negotiations to take place by the time they would actually need to.
Well, the NBA doesn't even want players to swear, so maybe we should
start relaxing
some of those things a little bit.
And I saw Adam Silver said they want the players to respect their contracts, which it would be. It's funny how every NBA reform comes after it affects the Sixers. Very, very interesting how that works.
it's a very big conspiracy, Brian.
I agree. Do you think the Magic should even consider trading down out of this spot? Like, is there enough difference between the top three guys that if OKC called and said, we want to move up to number one, we have every draft pick under the sun, we'll trade you number two and one of these future picks, or Houston calls and say, we'll give you three and something for one. Should Orlando be open to hearing those offers?
They should be open, but that offer has to be substantial, because, and that's just how I feel. I know there are people out there who will disagree with me heavily, just in terms of, you know, they will say what you said earlier in terms of there's like that trio of guys.
Yeah.
Where I just, wildly disagree with that. I think it's Chet all the way through. So if I'm the Magic and I get a call from OKC going, we'll give you number two and we'll give you one future pick, I'm going to have to make sure that that future pick is fully unprotected, like fully. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't owe OKC anything. Like, mm-hmm. why should I do them a favor? If sure. I have an opportunity to take Holmgren, who I know have the highest upside in the draft, why would I give him up cheaply? Just because there's a broader perception that he's in the same grouping as other players. Like, if I value him as a franchise cornerstone, I wouldn't be inclined to deal him at all. But two, if I were, I'd ask for the freaking moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to remember what I. So I know when the Sixers traded up for Fultz, they went from 3-1, and they gave up a future first as well. They gave up. It was top one protected, so they protected themselves against complete calamity. It was the better of Philly or Sacramento's 2019 picks, which is. That was actually a ballsy gamble to give up Sacramento's pick, but that was the year that Sacramento like sort of kind of put it together. So I think it ended up being 13 or 14, and that's the pick that Boston used on Romeo Langford. Right. But yeah, I mean,
well, that didn't turn out great. Yeah,
right, right. Yeah, well, I think the Tatum Fultz was enough enough on its own. But yeah, I mean, like OKC has just an ungodly number of picks coming their way. Mm-hmm. You know, they have 12 this year, they have 30 this year. So I think, you know, I don't think 2 and 30 gets it done, but
oh no,
they've got firsts from a lot of them are protected except for the Clippers ones, but you know, a lot of protected firsts from Denver next year, top 18 from Detroit, top 14 from Washington next year as well. Top four protected from Houston.
And they have 12 this year. So they have 2, 12, 30, and 34.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, that's an interesting offer at least.
Or what if they just do, let's say, 2 and this top four protected 2024 first round pick from Houston?
Hmm. Yeah, because how far ahead are Houston going to be?
Right.
No, wait.
2 years away.
2 years away. Okay. Yeah. Jalen Green is going to get substantially better. Alperen Şengün is there too. Josh Christopher played well.
They have the number three pick this year.
Usman Garuba is also going to get minutes. They're going to get something for Christian Wood. Actually, that's not a slam dunk, honestly.
No, it's not. I mean, I mean, the good thing is the play-in tournament adds so much more uncertainty to this as well.
Yeah.
So even if...
Right.
Like, they could get in the play-in mix, but then miss out and still be in the lottery. I'm with you overall, just thinking, you know, if there's a team in that top few picks mix that is willing to move up, to give up a future first to move up, Orlando should at least hear them out. But, yeah. I mean, it ultimately depends on Orlando's evaluations, because it's similar to the Fultz year. Like, you know, everyone seemed to have Fultz at the top of their board. Clearly the Celtics had Tatum at the top of theirs. So they said, you know, we would have taken this guy at 1. We know he's going to be here at 3. So if they, you know, start to get some intel that, like, let's say Banchero is the top guy on their board and they're sure that he's going to be there at 3. Yeah. Trade down, then pick up something else and you're still getting your guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Round 2, name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, let's go to Oklahoma City at number two, Mort. We don't know who Orlando's going to pick, or if they, you know, whatever, move down and someone else picks them. Who should?
Let's assume they go Holmgren.
Okay. Well, I was going to just say, who should OKC hope that Orlando leaves for them? Like, which is there any one of those three bigs that OKC should have over the other two as well?
No, I mean, again, Holmgren, but if we assume he's off the board, I think it should be Jabari Smith.
Okay. Why?
So he is one of the best jump shooters in the entire draft. And when you're 6'10 and you can like pull up that way, and you can also defend at a high level, and you actually have sort of a post game. Now, granted, I'm not fully convinced yet that that specific post game is going to translate to the same extent. Maybe at least not right away. It might take a few years, but there is something there to build out of. And then I think, you know, Jabari Smith could be a very nice weapon. He would also fit very well with Shea, I think. Just those two playing a lot of pick and pop basketball, that could be interesting to watch. Now, this is the point of the podcast where I start saying crazy shit. And you know, people are going to laugh and they're going to roll their eyes. And then maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. I was right about Donovan Mitchell. And I was also right about John Collins, that draft there back then. So now I'm going to lay my head down on the block. Tari Eason out of LSU. I love this kid. I love this kid. He's slotted to go outside the lottery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so look, if everyone agrees internally on that evaluation, I wouldn't reach for him at like two, because they also have 12. Yeah, I would just be willing to use 12 to move up and down a little bit to get him. But if he starts having pre-draft workouts where he just looks beastly and you kind of get a sense that, oh, maybe the Pacers at six are looking at him or giving him a serious look or somewhere in that range, I wouldn't hate it. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't hate it. I think the potential is out of this world. I think there's so much there to him in terms of just being productive. He is like the anti-Patrick Williams in the sense, like, Pat is very timid. Mm-hmm. Eason is the exact opposite. Imagine Russell Westbrook, but at 6'8", in terms of, like, a guy who wants to be involved in every single play. Like, I'm going to give you a little bit of time. You know how they have that college basketball basketball reference? I think it's just called Sports Reference.
Sports Reference, yeah.
Yeah. Go look up Tari Eason, and then look at his production on a per-minute basis. Now, especially look at his steals, his blocks, his rebounding, and even in scoring, just the all-around game. Statistical production. And then, yeah.
So, per 40 minutes, 27.7 points, 10.8 rebounds, 3.2 steals, 1.8 blocks, 1.6 assists.
Free throw attempts also. Look at free throw attempts.
9.3 free throw attempts. Shot 80.3 from the line. Also had 3.9 threes per 40. Shot 35.9 from deep.
Now go down to PER. I know that says a little bit of an outdated stat, but let's just go down there.
A casual 33.4.
Right.
Which was fourth in the entire NCAA last year.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people who say, you know, that production necessarily translates.
Yeah.
But when you produce at this level in so many different statistical categories, are you going to tell me that he's going to fail in all of them?
Seems like, unlikely.
Right. And let's also recognize that in college basketball, getting to the free throw line a ton like he does, that's not easy because there's a lot of zone defense, which really prevents you from getting into the lane. But he is so athletic. He is such a good slasher. He's such a good cutter that I'm just not worried about it. So the big thing, and this is where I think some scouts and some observers get a little bit of a hang up, is he has a weird jump shot. He's like, he shoots it from the right side of his face. Like, there's just no way around it. He has a weird jump shot. But when you're hitting 80% from the line and 36% from three, like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the weird-looking jump shot if those are the results that you yield, and you also know that you're going into the NBA where there are going to be shot doctors right there that can work with you. Like, if he fixes that just a little bit, like, gets a little bit higher for release point, dude, that guy could be one of the best players in this draft. So I'm not sitting here necessarily advocating that OKC pick him at two, only if, with the caveat that he has great pre-draft workouts and there's a buzz starting. So no, I would go Jabari here just because of that, because if he's available, like Tari at 12, you go with him.
Yeah. There. And again, they have a million future firsts. So if maybe you package one of those and 12 or 12 and 30 or 12 and 34 to move up. Like,
right.
You know, if you get buzz that the Wizards are in on him at 10, because Lord knows they don't have enough forwards already. Like, call up the Spurs at number 9 and see if they'd be willing to move down a few spots, which, you know, for potentially. Example.
Right.
Yeah. At that spot they might be. So. All right, that's interesting.
He is interesting. And just on a personal note, because I wrote about him over at Forbes in connection with the Bulls, I would not be shocked to see them go for, because he solves, well, not immediately, obviously, but every single statistical category they were bad in, he's very, very good in. And they need a player of his archetype as well. So I would not be surprised if they traded up for him.
Interesting. So... No, obviously OKC, for as much crap as they've somehow, they like do and don't take a lot of crap. Like, I feel like they are flying somewhat under the radar with their rebuild, especially relative to the process Sixers. But then, like, especially around this time of year, people are like, oh yeah, the Thunder. What, have they ever won a game? It's like, all right, they've been rebuilding for 2 years. Like, they've had two bad years. It's, you know, it's not that long. That said, you know, obviously, there was some speculation that they might be open to, you know, potentially listening to offers on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year, which never really seemed to make sense at the time, but so it goes. Do you think the combination of the rest of their picks in this year's draft, is that enough to finally push them out of like full rebuild mode, you know, pairing, let's say, Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren or Paolo Banchero with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey, who was fantastic as a rookie last year? Like, are we going to start to see the Thunder actually try to win games next year?
I think they'll try, but I still think they're a couple of years away because those guys are going to be rookies. And overall, you know, we've actually had this conversation before because I've been a little bit skeptical. What I've been skeptical about is like more along the lines of how they develop. So like Poku, for example, was a guy who obviously was one of their big bets. And I still don't grasp why he only played 20 minutes per game this year. Like, I think that was just a wasted resource. So for me, it was just kind of want to see that rebuild be a little bit further ahead because I don't trust Darius Bazley at all. But yeah, like this is a step-by-step process. So you get in, like, let's just for argument say Jabari Smith. I think also he has a fairly high floor. So he's going to come in with a certain baseline. He's already going to be a good shooter, I presume. So there's going to be an offensive presence up front that you can pair with Shai. You still have Lu Dort, who inexplicably is starting to average 17 points per game. You have a Josh Giddey who's going to get better. Hopefully he's going to return better as a better shooter and is already an all-around player. You've got additional draft picks so you can round out that roster. I think there's some potential there for them to get better, but to the point of where they can be competitive for a play-in spot, for example, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not going to rule it out because the NBA is weird, but if you put a gun to my head right now, I'd probably say no, 1 year away.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, potentially Victor Wembanyama is coming over next year. So if they are going to tank, maybe go for one more year, go take a swing for him. And then, you know, at that point, like, you know, Giddy will be going into his third year. Whoever they pick at number two will be like, all of those guys are going to have extra experience. That said, I mean, some of their, you know, this is what we've been hinting at, that like, they've got all these guys on cheap rookie contracts for now, or cheap contracts for now in the case of like Dort and Kenrick Williams. But Dort's heading into the last year of his deal. Kenrick Williams is heading into the last year of his deal. Like, we're starting to inch somewhat closer to decision time. And like, Darius Baisley is up for an extension this year. He'll be a restricted free agent next summer. I would be surprised if they commit a significant amount of money to him.
Oh yeah, no way.
So I don't know. I'm interested to see how this affects the Thunder's plans, if it does at all. Maybe they continue to just tank away, and you know, they're another team to watch, especially leading up to the draft, because right now I think they have upward more than $20 million in cap space, which obviously they can't use on a free agent or anything now that the season is over. Once the new league year starts in early July, that's when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's rookie extension kicks in. So that cap space evaporates. So do they, you know, right now, if they're, I think they're below the salary floor, so they would just distribute it, the shortfall to everyone on their roster, and you know, here's an extra $1 million. Thanks for helping us tank this year. Thanks for helping us get the number two overall pick. But you know, if some team out there has big offseason plans and needs to offload some salary before July 1st, the Thunder are going to be top of mind in that regard. So,
yeah, because they can still take on a long term deal like right now, theoretically.
Yeah, yeah, like they have come up in relation to Tobias Harris dating back to the trade deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would just keep an eye on the Thunder are going to be a sneaky power player this offseason, which is going to be fascinating.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's move on to the Houston Rockets, Mort. As mentioned, they won the number three overall pick. So to some extent, do they have the easiest decision of any team? Just take whichever one of the three bigs falls to them?
Sort of, because I think it's flawed logic to always put it into those the conversation of just those three. I mean, I'm looking at Keegan Murray from Iowa, and I see one of the most productive scorers in the entire, you know, in the entire draft, and I keep wondering, why is he not up on that same tier? Like, why aren't we discussing him? Maybe it's because he's older. He's going to be 22 or almost 22 when he gets drafted. Like, fair enough, but fundamentally speaking, he's rock solid. Like, he does so many things off the dribble as a spot up guy. He even defends. He almost never turns the ball over, which is amazing considering just how much time he spends with the ball in his hands just doing stuff. So, like, yeah, you can go Paolo Banchero, fine. You could technically also go Jaden Ivey because you already have a lot of bigs. Like, you already have Christian Wood. You have Alperen Şengün, you have Usman Garuba. Like, okay, even if you move off of Wood, you still have to find minutes for the remaining two. And then if you add a third big, like, is that going to work out? I don't know. There's just so many different things you could so many different directions you could go in here. Trading down wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. I mean, like, who they, for example, the Hornets, they have 13 and 15. Like, they would need to add something to move up to 3. But if you could do that, if you're the Rockets and get more bites of the apple, sure. I wouldn't hate that, because unless Chet Holmgren slips to 3, I'm not necessarily in love with the remaining field of players there.
Interesting. Okay. Because that was my next question. If they do take one of whichever big falls, how does that affect Christian Wood, who is heading into the last year of his contract, and then Şengün, who they just drafted last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you should trade Wood. I mean, we were talking about this at the trade deadline. We were expecting him to move off, and he wasn't. You know, if they go Banchero, sorry, I need to get that out of my system. Which, you know, let's just go off with consensus that he says he's the number 3 player in this draft. That is a very fine pick. I mean, to go alongside Şengün, who is a full-time center who can really pass the basketball. Banchero can pass the basketball too. Some of the issues that I think Banchero has just in terms of rebounding the ball and doing proper big things, those can be hidden because those are the things that Şengün does. So that will be a very interchangeable front court in certain aspects of the passing, the shooting as well. They both need to refine their shooting a little bit, but that will come in time. So they could get a very settled front line for the next 10, 12 years, which would be great. Or they could go all in and just say, look, we're looking at an explosive guard like Jaden Ivey. You can't really go wrong here. I do think that you put it nicely. The Rockets are just in such a great situation because they can trade down, they can stay, and they can go in a million different directions in terms of who they pick, where you kind of think, oh, okay, like you can reach at that spot at number 3. Mm-hmm. Like if you reach at number 1, but if you reach number 3 and go Ivey or Banchero, yeah, no one would bat an eye, I think. Like, that's fine. Or Murray, for that matter. I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the draft darling.
Yeah, well, we saw, I mean, that it was at number 4 last year, but you're right. We saw, you know, the supposed consensus was there was a clear top 4 of Cade, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and then the Raptors obviously disagreed, took Scottie Barnes, and all he did was go on to win Rookie of the Year. So, so you're right. Like, they don't have, just because draft experts are, you know, saying there's a clear top 3, the Rockets do not have to abide by that board.
Correct.
I am interested to see if they do pick one of the bigs. I am interested to see what that means for Christian Wood.
He should be moved regardless.
Yeah, you said it. I wasn't even on that trade at the last trade deadline. I was there last summer. Like, as soon as they traded James Harden, it was like, why is Christian Wood here? What are we doing here?
Can I throw something really weird your way? And I just want to see how this plays.
Yeah.
Because we agree that the Kings are all in, right?
Oh, God.
And we agreed that they need shooting in the front court because they traded for Sabonis, right?
Sure.
Christian Wood can shoot, right?
Yeah.
He can play a lot of pick-and-pop, pick-and-roll basketball with De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell, correct?
He would be a nice fit there. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop of what are they trading for him.
I'm not saying 4 straight up. Maybe you need to attach something. Like maybe it's Christian Wood and Usman Garuba. Maybe it's Christian Wood and Josh Christopher.
I'm still running to the phone to call that in if I'm Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. I might be selling the Kings front office short here. That's fair. What do they need? I think there's something there in terms of getting that second draft pick.
I thought you were going to say, like, Davion Mitchell.
Well, no, they can.
The salaries wouldn't line up. You'd have to do something else, but.
Yeah, no, like, I'm thinking of of the Rockets attaining like the Sacramento pick.
Yeah. But I mean, what if they just got Mitchell instead? Getting, you know, a recent top 10 pick for a guy who's got 1 year left on his deal and probably isn't going to resign with you.
Well, do the Kings have the stones to trade another high potential point guard?
Probably, because they're the Kings.
Well, if they're the Kings, they might say yes. Yeah, they might say for more, straight up.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know. I kind of see some level of framework working there.
I agree. I mean, on paper, that would make a ton of sense. And if they can move off Rashawn Holmes, like maybe it's a three-team deal where they send Holmes somewhere else. That team sends something to Houston. Houston sends Christian Wood to Sacramento. I'm interested in that. Like, what about Portland gets Rashawn Holmes? Oh, man. They're not going to trade number 7 for Rashawn Holmes, would they?
No. And especially, like, we don't really know what's going to happen with Rashawn.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. His legal issues are.
Yeah.
Although I thought I saw an update that. I think the judge sided with him, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there's been an update? I didn't even
believe he has gained full custody of his children.
Okay.
I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
No, I won't. I haven't seen it because I just knew that there was something brewing there and I didn't want to get into it because we didn't know. But if that situation is handled, that obviously changes things. Yes.
Yes. This was last week. He was granted full custody of his son. But you're right. We don't know. There is probably still some fallout from there. So it's a fair point overall.
We'll see. But yeah. I don't hate the framework of that. Overall, for me, if I'm Houston, I wanted to get a pick and preferably a high pick for Christian Wood. So I would be scanning the first round for teams that are trying to win now, and the Kings just jumped on my radar. Which
we can
talk about this. Like, the Kings are picking 4. All right, they jumped 3 spots. Fair enough. But this is a team that willingly tried to win. Like, they went into it as trying to be competitive, and they're picking 4th. Like, the craziness of this is. I mean, it's really out there just in terms of how high up they were in the draft. Like, I don't know what they expect that a rookie can come in and turn things around immediately because they're looking to make the playoffs next year. I mean, are we in agreement that 4 is very likely to get traded?
Well, I was going to ask about the Kings next, so let's just jump right to them because, you know, again, let's assume the top 3 bigs are off the board at this spot. What do they do it for?
I think they entertain trades. I mean, because, and again, I'm not supporting that they should do that because I don't necessarily think they should be a win now team. They are. They made that decision, though. Right. So at the same time, I think they need to follow through on their vision. I mean, it's almost like when the Bulls traded for Vooch, right? They could not follow through in the summer.
Yeah.
I think the Kings now, because they made that trade for Sabonis, now they have to go all in. Now they have to say, okay, look, I mean, let's trade this number 4 pick. Like, that was a gift. Now that pick has more trade value. Let's see what we can get. If that's not a Christian Wood plus stuff, that's all fair. That was just an idea off the top of my head. Sure. So I'll turn it back to you. What kind of player can they get from number 4? Like, who should they target? Who's out there? James Harden?
No.
Oh, you'd love that. You'd love that.
Yeah.
If you can turn James Harden to the 4th overall pick, you'd have a boner, Brian.
What about... I mean, the question is how they match salary, too, I guess.
Yeah. Well, hit me. What were you thinking?
Would OKC do it for Shea? If they think this 23-year-old is too far advanced for their timeline.
Full disclosure, I do not believe the Shea rumors.
I don't get it if it's true, but
yeah. I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously if you're willing to trade Shea, you're looking at multiple draft picks. You're looking at least at one very high draft pick, which would qualify in this instance. But you know what? I just don't want to entertain it because I think it's fake. I would be shocked if they traded Shea. And if they did, their entire rebuild would go back years.
Yeah. All right.
So who, like, okay, but I see where you're going here. You're going for a guy who is a young veteran.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. What?
Oh, man. I don't actually believe this because I don't think Toronto would do it. But what if Sacramento offers four for Siakam?
I think Toronto listens.
Okay, see, you're the one who pissed off the Raptors fans, then. That's
I think they. I didn't say they do it. I think they listen to it because the framework, like, that's at least a good starting point.
Yeah. Again, it's the matching the salary is the tricky part here.
Of course, because Pascal is earning like 33 plus million, if memory serves, more.
Yeah.
But like value wise, I don't think it's totally off. And if Raptors fans get pissed at us saying that the number four overall pick sort of matches Pascal's trade value, I mean, I don't know what to say. That is fair value for Pascal. I mean, at least as a starting point, like that's in the ballpark. If we set aside salaries.
I'm trying to see who is taking up all of this money for Sacramento. Like why? What? Ideally, they would have cap space and you could make a semi-imbalanced trade. And I just don't see. I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out, like, why don't they have more cap space than. Oh, because they got a couple. Yeah, DiVincenzo's cap hold.
Yeah. DiVincenzo's cap hold of 6.6, right?
They can offer, like, Barnes and Rashawn are their only two real salary matching chips. Mm-hmm. But like Barnes and four for if it's Barnes and four for Siakam, I think you do have to listen.
I mean, I think you may have to pull the trigger. I think you have to do more than listen if you were offered Harrison Barnes at number four.
Barnes number is four. He's going in the final year of his deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, you would have bird rights on him.
And he is one of the most efficient forward scorers in the entire NBA. Plus, we know that Masai Ujiri won the draft last year, more or less. So why couldn't he do that again with number four?
Yeah.
Maybe he has the balls to take Tari Eason at four, and Tari Eason turns into Rookie of the Year.
I mean, Harry B fits the mold of guys between 6'7 and 6'9 who can defend multiple positions and shoot from deep. So he's actually future Raptor written all over him.
Right. No, I mean, they do lose significant defense from Pascal, but it's the collectiveness of it. Like, you get Harrison Barnes, but you also get the fourth pick. I mean, look, Jaden Ivey would be fun there.
Yeah. I'm trying. What is Ananobi is on a much smaller deal, so maybe that's a more realistic target.
Ananobi, you really want OG Ananobi on the Kings? What did OG Ananobi ever do?
No, I don't want any of these guys on the Kings. I'm just saying, if the Kings are desperate, like those.
Well, yeah, I mean, that raises one question. If you're Toronto, who do you have first in line between Pascal Siakam and OG Ananobi in terms of players you want to trade?
Oof.
I want to keep OG. First, he's on a much better contract.
Yeah.
He's growing every single year. He's younger. Like, he fills that three. He's not even a 3-and-D guy anymore. He is like a super 3-and-D with more game.
Yeah.
And that's not to say Pascal isn't great. He is, but he's also older and way more expensive.
But OG's only got two more guaranteed years on his deal. So Pascal and him, I mean, OG is 19.9 million player option in 24-25. So they're effectively, both of them have 2 years left on his deal because OG's turning that down. He might as well just turn it down now, save his agent some time in 2 years.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely on a better contract for the next few years, but it's not like he's, you know, tied up for two extra years on Siakam. Right. It's an interesting question. I mean, I think if nothing else, the Kings are probably the first real swing point of the draft. I'm guessing Magic, Thunder, Rockets take the, you know, Banchero, Smith, Holmgren in some order, and then the Kings are the first real, like, do we go Jaden Ivey? Do we go Keegan Murray? Do we go Tari Eason?
We go back to the Pacers and get the other big man as well, so we create the same problem?
trade four for six and Miles Turner.
Oh, man. No, I'm kidding. That would be funny, though. Like, could you imagine that big question that's been hovering around the Pacers for like 3 years? And then the Kings go like, we need a stretch big next to Sabonis. Hey, Miles Turner!
That'd be incredible. All right, let's go some other storylines that could come because of how the draft lottery shook out. I thought... Jake Fisher of BR had a piece come out late last night about some winners and losers of the draft lottery. He mentioned Jalen Brunson, which I thought was interesting because I just did not make this connection at all. But he pointed out, you know, again, assuming Holmgren, Smith, Banchero go 1, 2, 3, we'll see what the Kings do at 4. The Pistons are at 5. So if Jaden Ivey is still on the board, maybe they take Jaden Ivey there. And all of a sudden, you know, he mentioned the Knicks, Pacers, and Pistons are all expected to make aggressive runs at Brunson.
Right.
If they go Ivy, do they still, do the Pistons still make a run at
Brunson? They shouldn't, not if they go Ivy.
Yeah.
But I'm working under the assumption that Ivy is gone because, even if the Kings trade that pick, I wouldn't be surprised if the teams that acquires that pick goes Ivy.
Right.
At 4. I would go Keegan Murray all day long if I'm the Pistons.
And then just have a Murray, Sadiq Bey, 3-4.
Yeah. /4-5. Yeah. And then you sign Jalen Brunson in the summer.
Yeah.
Then you add Keegan Murray and Jalen Brunson to the team during one offseason, and you effectively roll out Brunson, Cunningham, Bey, Murray, and Isaiah Stewart as a starting lineup next year. I don't hate that. I mean, it's not going to be necessarily good right off the bat, which, like, that's fine. They have time. Mm-hmm. But I love that the potential of that unit, like, in the year after this one.
And, I mean, they've still got Jeremy Grant as well, who...
Oh, yeah, they could trade his ass, too. That's right.
Right. So we'll see what happens with him. I'm assuming... I mean, I would guess they were going to be pretty open to trading him regardless this offseason, like even if they jumped up to number one or, you know, top four again. Cause
Oh, yeah. They're not paying him that money that he wants. Come on.
Yeah.
No one is. Dude, that's the trade target for the Kings, right?
Oh, God. Oh.
That's who they're going for, isn't it? That's going to happen, isn't it?
How are we saying the Blazers aren't even going to trade number 7 for Jeremy and the Kings are going to trade number 4 for Jeremy?
Because it's the Kings. No, yeah. I'm just not ruling it out. Actually, that's a good point, by the way. It does seem like Jeremy is Portland bound. Maybe we should just pigeonhole that. Then what is the trade? Is that number 7 as well?
They're another team that I'm interested to see what happens with them because of how the lottery shook out. Like,
right.
But I don't know. It's hard to say what would have been better for them. Like, or what, in terms of, you know, they want to rebuild quickly. They want to continue building around Dame. So, like, let's say they had jumped up to the top 3. Mm-hmm. Would they have just been more likely to trade that pick and get something, like, really good in return? Or would that have been like, oh... Now we have a potential new face of the franchise. Like, let's go back to Dame and say, are you sure you want to stay here? Or like, I don't know. Doesn't New York sound kind of great?
I mean, only if they got one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I realize that people are going to sit here and think that I just crab on Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero, but I'm just not there with the fact that they should be franchise carriers. I could be wrong. I absolutely could be wrong. I did not like Jason Tatum as much as a prospect back in the day, and look how wrong I was about that.
Yeah.
But I just would not be shocked if those two guys are more secondary guys or maybe even tertiary guys when everything is said and done. So it would have to be number one, like they would have jumped up to. But, I mean, they didn't. So they need to deal with the reality of the situation, which is they fell. Like, they're picking seven. They fell one spot. They were projected to pick six. If that is Jeremy Grant, which seems to be what Dame wants, right? That's Jeremy Grant and it's Tyler or Miles Turner. Like, those two guys seems to be who he wants, which, fair enough. Like, maybe there's something there. Like, if you prearrange this so the Pistons end up with the seventh pick overall, then, oh my God, Detroit would have 5-7. Who do you go for? Okay, so let's say they go Keegan Murray at 5. Who do the Pistons take at 7 if we just switch it over to Detroit?
Mm-hmm. AJ Griffin, Shaedon Sharpe, Tari Eason.
Benedict Mathurin. No, Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren, because as much as I love Isaiah Stewart, like, he is small as a center. Mm-hmm. Jalen Duren is 18 years old, and he is a freaking beefcake. This dude is like 6'11", 7 feet, 250 pounds. And Brian, I don't know if I've seen any, you know, measurements today, but I don't anticipate his body fat percentage to be significantly high. That dude is ripped. He is strong. And at 18 years old, loads of potential. Great shot blocker, you know, a upwards trending rebounder, developing score. There's a lot to like with Jalen Duren. Now, all of a sudden, that Pistons team would look fun. If they can get Jalen Duren for Jeremy Grant, I'm all in on that. By the way, one note. How many freaking guys will we have in the league named Jalen? Because I am making so many mistakes all the time because everybody is named Jalen. I'm blaming Jalen Rose.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I'm interested. So Jake Fisher in his piece said he's reported this before too, that, you know, in the CJ McCollum deal,
right,
they got, I think it was protected 5-14, the Pelicans pick this year, and they were hoping to use that pick to get Jeremy Grant because they figured it would be a late lottery pick. Then the Pelicans wound up making the playoffs, and now they're getting a top 4 protected 2025 first round pick from the Milwaukee Bucks instead, if memory serves correctly. And as long as Giannis doesn't get struck by lightning in the next few years, or even if he does, maybe that gives him superpowers. you know, that pick is not projected to be very high. So
right.
I don't know if that's going to be enough to get Jeremy Grant. Like, the Pistons reported asking price dating back to the trade deadline was either 2 first round picks or a first round pick and a young player. Portland is pretty short on that. Like, I don't know if you're giving up this year little. Like, maybe this year little.
That's called creating leverage, though.
Yeah.
I think if we just set aside salaries for a minute, if Portland called up Detroit right now and said, we'll give you 7 for Jeremy Grant, I absolutely guarantee you that deal is getting worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with Portland this summer. Like, I believe them that they are not going to trade Dame and that Dame is not going to request a trade. And, you know, all power to you. I would not think that number 7 is I would hope that they shoot a little bit higher than Jeremy with number 7 if that's the case. But I wouldn't be totally shocked if that pick is on the move one way or the other. Like, maybe they trade 7 down to get 11 in a future first or something like that, and then trade 11 for Jeremy Grant. Like, that's, I'd be more willing to entertain a move like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it feels like the Blazers, the last couple of months certainly could have gone better for them.
They could also trade down to 9, because if I'm the Spurs, I'd be willing to trade up.
For who?
Yeah, so this is based on the idea that Benedict Mathurin is going to do well in pre-drafts. I think having that, because like he is, to me, when I watch him, it seems like he is what Lonnie Walker should have been. Like a very strong, stable, consistent off guard, right? And you can argue, well, do they have Devin Vassell? What about him? Well, he can play multiple positions. Like, I'm not too worried about that. Kelton Johnson, they're using as a 4 once in a while. So maybe they just load up on, shooting guards, wings, and try to go that route instead. I wouldn't hate that acquisition for them.
That's interesting.
Or they should trade up higher and really just pull the blanking off under the feet of Detroit and go Keegan Murray. Because Keegan Murray, I won't say complete the retooling process that the Spurs have, but he would instantaneously become the best forward on the roster in terms of scoring upside. Like, that's what they need. Mm. They need a score. Keegan Murray would come in, like, and he's a Spurs player. Like, he's fundamentally sound. He's not flashy. He never turns the ball over. That could be the play. If they really, like, I'm trying to be realistic with Mathurin because I don't know if they have enough pieces to trade up for 5 or even 4, like if it's the Kings. But I wouldn't hate to see the Spurs be aggressive.
Well, the scary thing is I think this is the highest the Spurs have drafted since. Is it since
George Hill?
George Hill was right.
15. 15. No, right? not he wasn't 15. They had him, and then they traded for 15 for Indiana for Kawhi.
Right.
Oh, That also means that when the Spurs call up Indiana, hey, we're looking to move up to 6, the Pacers just go, nope.
No. We learned our lesson. Thank you.
Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah. We're not going to do it.
It's always like whoever the Spurs pick, you just assume they are ahead. They see something that no one else does.
Yeah.
But now they are picking higher than usual. And now we're.
No, you know what they do? You know what they tentatively agree to the parameters of the trade. And then they ask, okay, so who do we need to pick for you? Well, we want this guy. And then 2 minutes later, oh, the deal fell through.
Yeah, right. Like,
sorry, we don't want to do it anymore.
That might be the play. All right, let's hit a couple other teams. Let's go to the Pacers. They got the number 6 pick, so they moved down one spot relative to the odds. You floated a Miles Turner, DeAndre Ayton sign and trade in the last episode, and it has been stuck in my brain all week. Do you think now, you know, had Detroit moved up or had Indiana moved up, like they would have taken presumably one of these 3 bigs, and then that probably closes the door on them needing to pursue Ayton. But now with Indiana knowing, like, okay, we're barring a just total draft day surprise or a trade up, like they're not going to get one of Holmgren, Smith, or Banchero. Like, do you think the door is even more open for an Ayton Turner sign and trade now?
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. I mean, if, again, I would like to reiterate that I think Keegan Murray deserves to be in that top tier. And I think he would fit that team beautifully. So if he's there at 6, I don't even think that, I still think they could still do the trade, but they would then get a multiple, you know, a power forward with a wide variety of scoring skills, and then they can still do that trade later. I don't think having 6th or dropping or falling, whatever, is going to prevent them from doing anything. Like, yeah, okay, if they won number 1 with Holmgren, sure, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they'd come up to 2 or 3, I still don't think Banchero or Smith are centers. I think they're pretty security forwards. Mm-hmm. And if you want a center, that's DeAndre Ayton, who is very available.
Yeah. I don't think I appreciated how hard the base year compensation rule makes it to find a suitable Ayton sign-in trade. Like, I know Bulls Twitter has been all over this. I saw Steph Noe of Sporting News tweet this out the other day. It was like some Reddit deep dive into, you know, basically Ayton counts as like $15 million as outgoing salary on a max deal, but his, you know, the incoming salary is still, or maybe it's the other way around. $15 million one way, $30 million the other way. So unless you're trading him to a team that's under the cap, it's virtually impossible to come up with a deal that is cap legal. But luckily, the Pacers are currently projected to be under the cap. So I don't know. It just feels like that is – I'm just going to have it stuck in my brain for the next month and a half until it doesn't happen, and then I get sad.
You're welcome.
The other team I want to hit on is the Washington Wizards, because they also stayed put at number 10. Bradley Beal, obviously an unrestricted free agent this summer. And this could just be because Sixers fans are absolute nutcases, especially at this time of year. But Brian Windhorst went on Mike Greenberg's show the other day, and it had a clip about how, like, Daryl Morey's going star hunting again. They're looking for another star to add. He didn't say who it was, said it was someone near or at the end of his contract, said it will become more clear after the lottery is over. So we started jumping to conclusions. Is it Beal? Is it Dame? Is it Shea? You know, now OKC gets number two. Maybe they aren't willing to trade Shea because they say, all right, we're getting
they
one of the
shouldn't
bigs.
Be willing to trade Shea regardless. This is dumb. Right. Okay, yeah.
And, you know, take Portland at their word. They're going to keep Dame. Like, I still think the most likely outcome is Beal re-signs a five-year Supermax in Washington this summer and then ask for a trade, like, next year, because I think he just wants all of the money possible.
Yeah.
But do you think them staying put at 10 and not having this potential franchise savior coming down in the draft makes it more likely that Bradley Beal, you know, takes a look around this summer and is like, I'm good. I'm going to take slightly less money. You know, he could get like 4 or 5 years. I think it's $247.7 million from the Wizards. And then it's 4 years, $183.6 from any other team. But it's, you know, obviously one fewer year. So still an ungodly amount of money either way.
Like, yeah, I was about to say, just give me one of those, man.
I know. I just wonder if at what point do we start seeing guys be like, this is more money than Michael Jordan earned in his entire career, and this is over 4 years. Like, I'm good. I could take a little bit less.
Twice. I mean, he earned $93
million. I know. So, yeah, do you think this makes it – cracks the door for Bradley Beal not to come back to Washington?
Yeah, of course, because, like, regardless, if you won the lottery here, you could have traded number one for something really, really great, which didn't happen. Or hell, you could keep number one and then tell Bradley Beal, look, we're getting someone here. You may have to wait 1 year, but this is a star. Mm-hmm. That just didn't materialize. Now I don't want to say stuck at 10. You can get a perfectly fine player at 10. But it doesn't really scream optimism in the years of Bradley Beal. So, yeah, I would absolutely say that now is the time for them to talk internally and figure out what the next step here is. All that said, I don't think this comes as a shock to them. I think every NBA organization comes into the draft lottery with numerous plans, right? And I don't think anyone is, like, hitching their wagon on going from number 10 to number one. I think they're basically saying, look, this is what we're projected as going, and that's where we're going. And this was the case here. So their internal plans, I don't think, have changed. I think it's always meant to be, for their sake or for their perspective, this year is going to be when they figure out what to do. And that means having an honest conversation with Beal and going, what do you want? Do you want to resign? Do you want to go somewhere else? Because hell, like, the Wizards should be all in on extending him just so they can trade him later. He's still going to have the trade value. Like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, I think he's going to re-sign and stay there. Yeah. And then, you know, next year, if he's still at that point, if he wants out, that's when you trade him. I will say, you know, just based on what we've seen with Supermaxes in recent years, it just gets hard to trade guys on that big of a contract. So,
yeah,
if he his ultimate ambition is to be traded, he might can, you know, I'm not here to count anyone else's money, but like it, you know, we just saw John Wall waste an entire year of his career wasting away on a bench, and Russell Westbrook effectively did the same thing, despite playing the entire year. You know, Brad Beal is super young. Or much younger than those guys. So, like, you're paying for, you know, the rest of his prime. He turns 29 in June. So, you know, he'll be in his age 33 season in the final year of that contract.
Yeah, so he's not super young, but he's young enough.
Yeah, like, yeah. For someone with 10 years of NBA experience, he's still pretty young.
Very young, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing is... I wrote about it in Forbes the other day, and I don't get it from the Sixers' perspective if it really is Bradley Beal, but you know, other people have very much pushed back against that idea.
So what's your question here? Whether it should be Beal?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand it, like, because there have been rumors about Beal wanting to join Harden and Embiid. That, like, Andrew Bogut went on a podcast in March and said, like, that was the buzz. And I know Jake Fisher has alluded to that as well in some of his, like,
right,
whatever, you know, not written reports, but has just spoken about it.
So a Beal, so let me just get this straight. It would be Harden, Beal, and Joel as the main core, which means you'd have to get rid of Tobias, presumably via OKC. You'd also you basically have to wait a year until, because Harden is absolutely going to pick up his player option at $47 million. And then you're going to hope to some extent that he's not going to be, that he's going to be very similar to what he was this year. So he'll take a not a discount, but he'll sign for like $20 million a year next year, allowing the Sixers by that point to have enough cap space to absorb him. Like, I'm not sure how the acquisition plan works out here.
I wrote about it at Forbes, and I went through, like, both pathways. It all comes down to if Harden picks up the option or not, or if he doesn't and he signs for less, and how much it costs to dump Tobias. I think you might be right, though. It's a lot easier to do it next year than it would be this year.
Yeah.
Especially if Beal does this five-year max and, like, wants the full five-year max, let him get it. Then Tobias only has 1 year left on his deal, and he would presumably be less expensive to salary dump. But
yeah, you need to dump Tobias this year.
Yeah, there are ways to do it either way. I mean, assuming they are able to dump Tobias without taking much, if any, salary back, I think a sign and trade is the much more viable route. Because, like, my concern is twofold. One, I get the appeal of, like, Beal, Harden, Embiid, in theory, just absolutely dynamic offensively. I worry defensively. I just,
yeah.
Based on what we've seen in these playoffs, it's just like a lot of the playoffs just come down to mismatch hunting on the perimeter. And, you know, for as much as I respect what Bradley Beal brings on offense, like, you're telling me Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum wouldn't just hunt those guys every single trip down the floor?
Right.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, my other concern is, like, especially if you're going the cap space route,
right,
then you're only going to have the room exception and veteran minimum deals to round out the rest of your contract. You're, you know, whether you have to use Maxi to get off Tobias or not, let's say somehow you dump Tobias.
Yeah.
You keep Maxi. You trade Thybul, you trade every pick swap you have available, you trade whichever picks you still can, which aren't many at this point. So you've got Maxi, Embiid, Beal, Harden. that's basically it. You've got very little beyond that. You have the room exception and minimum deals to round out your roster. Like, maybe you hit on all of those signings and it works out. But,
right,
you know, usually what we've seen with these big three models is that, like, you start with some depth and then it withers over time. And then that's what causes the foundation to collapse. The Sixers would be starting this big three or big four model with no depth whatsoever. So at least the sign and trade route, you know, you could maybe maintain access to the non-taxpayer mid-level, the biannual exception. Like, again, all comes down to how much Harden takes, how much it costs to get off of Tobias. But, like, that would be at least give you a chance to round out your roster with, like, one playable wing. But Beal doesn't really seem to be addressing any major area of need for the Sixers. It's like just adding, it's like duplicative of everything they're good at and not right, addressing
because Harden
is
there. And that's my gripe. I would hate that core. I think Harden is the showstopper here. The backcourt should be Tyrese Maxey and Bradley Beal. James Harden, under those circumstances, should be nowhere to be found on that roster. He should not be a Philadelphia 76er if you get Bradley Beal in there. If that is a requirement from Bradley Beal, no, is the answer from the Sixers. It should be. That should be a complete non-starter for the reasons that you put out first and foremost, just in terms of, like, there wouldn't be any role player whatsoever.
Yeah.
But that's just, you have two players who are very similar in what they offer, one of which is getting old, lazy, fat, and just is overall disinterested in doing any other work than, you know, playing isolation basketball, which he really isn't even good at anymore. And with hamstrings popping up here and there and, like, the body failing here and there because he has so many shot attempts, so many minutes on him. No, there's one too many chef in the kitchen there. Harden has to go in that scenario. And because it just wouldn't fit. And whatever salary Harden would occupy, that would be freed up to go, you know, rounding out the roster. Like, Tyrese Maxey is still going to be on a rookie contract for two more years. Like, he's going to be cheap. Embiid, even though he signs a supermax, like, that's one guy who's going to be averaging, 45? No, what is the start of supermax? 47?
His was, I think, 4 years, 190, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, so, but like, what's almost the first year?
Oh, yeah, I think 40 something. 45. Yeah.
40. Okay.
And then 43.7.
All right, and what will Bradley Beal cost? Somewhere somewhat similarly? Only that 1 year contract, like that 1 year salary.
This would be for starting in 23-24.
Yeah.
He would be 46.1. Well, if he re-signs with Washington and then gets traded, it'd be 46.1. If he signed with the Sixers this summer, either via sign and trade or as a free agent, 44.8.
All right, so roughly those two would account for 90.
Yeah.
Then you have Maxey, who's basically free, all intents and purposes.
4.3 next year.
Yeah. Right. So that still gives you a fair chunk of cheddar to round out the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the plan to me. That is, if you are in on Bradley Beal, and why wouldn't you be if it means you don't have to play or pay James Harden? Like, that's fine. Then I just wonder, what the hell would you have to give up? Then it becomes the level of compensation, because let's not kid ourselves here. Washington would absolutely say, oh, you want Bradley Beal? We want Tyrese Maxey.
Right. Right. And that's where I'm getting hung up as well. It's like,
yeah, non-starter.
If you're coming up with how you're getting off Tobias, if you can get off Tobias Harris without giving up Tyrese Maxey, I'm all ears. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that.
No, I mean, look, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I realize that stars drive this league, but there are stars who don't. So how to phrase this? We're watching the playoffs right now. We are seeing that it's the super duper stars that take you far. Like,
yeah,
I know Giannis lost. Giannis took that series to a game seven without Chris Middleton, with no one else able to make a shot. Like, let's not sit here and argue that, oh, Giannis failed. No. He succeeded. It was everyone else around him who failed because they couldn't make a damn jump shot.
Yeah.
We're seeing Luka Doncic taking out a 64-win team in very embarrassing fashion. I mean, without having multiple stars around him even. Like, Bradley Beal is not that guy. No. James Harden is not that guy. Like, Joel Embiid is the closest thing to it. That's great. But the drop-off from Bradley Beal to Tyrese Maxey is less than the drop-off from Embiid to Beal, if you catch my drift there.
Yeah. I mean, is it as simple as, like, one-way players, no matter how great they are on that one end of the court, you're just not gonna, like,
a two-way star. Luka.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I was gonna say he's not, like, the worst defender, but I mean, this is a concern with, like, Atlanta and Trae Young too. Like, Trae Young is so good offensively, but
yeah, but that's the height. I mean, let's just be honest. If you're a 6 foot nothing floor maker, floor leader, and if you're a 6 foot eight floor leader, that's just a hell of a difference. There's a reason that Michael and Scottie won those championships in the 90s. No one else played like that. And then suddenly you had these two very tall all around wings. Who could match that when you had, like, you went into the post all the time with your centers? You had point guards who didn't shoot because they had to pass. They played all these traditional manners. Like, nowadays, the game has changed. And Bradley Beal and James Harden, like, bless them, they're very, very good players. They both had seasons of 30-plus points. They've been primary playmakers and all that, but where the hell has it gotten them? At the end of the day, it just hasn't been good enough. Like, I'm willing to say this, and I'll have Rockets fans on my ass, and I don't care. Luka Doncic right now at the age of 23 is better than James Harden has ever been in his career.
Ooh. It's getting close, if nothing else.
I think he passed it. I mean, would James Harden ever have taken that kind of a team that he had against the Suns in that playoff series? I don't think so.
It feels like there's a different type of swagger with a Luka team.
Yeah.
Like, he imbues his teammates with that kind of confidence. And, like, you know that he's going to show. I mean, I know Zach Lowe has harped on this a ton, but, like, game seven of Suns Mavericks, you knew Luka was going to have a ridiculous performance. And you knew the Suns were going to have to, like, overcome. And they very much did not. But, you know, you knew, like, going into these high leverage late in the series games, you know, Luka is going to show up. And with James, it's like, you actually, like, prove me wrong. so it's a fair point. But yeah, all this, you know, that goes to the point of, like, if you're looking at Washington, and you're looking at this decision, do you commit 5 years, almost $250 million to Bradley Beal this summer?
Like, well, maybe. So this is the different side of the coin. It's Washington, Brian.
Yeah, right. What's the alternative?
Right. I mean, that's not to be mean, but what is the alternative? Like, let's just play it out. What is the alternative from the Washington freaking Wizards here?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not going to get anywhere near as much value in a sign and trade.
Right, and, like, they aren't exactly a free agent destination.
Right.
This is where it gets tough, but my overall point about this is, if Philly fans are preoccupied with Bradley Beal, okay. I would go with Maxey over both Harden and Beal at this point.
Yeah. They are really preoccupied with Beal, or just with Mystery Star X, which is why I wrote about it the other day. But I personally don't get it, and I feel like they'd be much better off, like, just pursuing just get more guys who could play on the wing. Because if anything, like, that's what the playoffs have showed this year, is that you need more of. And I think, you know, going into the draft, it's going to be interesting that, like, the, you know, as we just talked about, these first three guys are all bigs. Some of them, you know, they're all, like, or at least some of them are, you know, the modern day stretch bigs or bigs who can come and defend out in the perimeter. So that's going to help them stay on the floor in the playoffs. But
right,
like, which team in that mid lottery range is like, hey, we just need wings. Like, what are we watching here, guys? Like, you know, do what Toronto did with that last year with Scotty Barnes. Like, all right, cool. Yep. You can have a guard. Like, we want the 6'8 guy who can do everything.
Which leads me to this. If the mystery player is not Bradley Beal, but it is indeed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, mm-hmm. then we can have a conversation of whether or not where Maxi ranks in that hierarchy.
Right.
Right. Because I am absolutely buying stock in Shai and his trajectory moving forward than I am Beal or Harden.
Me too.
And the size, like, I realize he's not, you know, as strong as Luka, but he's what, 6'6", 6'7"? Like, there's legitimate size there. He can handle the basketball, low turnover. Okay, he had a really weird year shooting the three ball, but at the same time, I think the Thunder were like the worst team in the NBA at shooting the three as well, weren't they?
Just look at his teammates. Like, if
yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, they were them. Dead last. 32.3% as a team from outside. You know what?
Yeah.
I am okay. I'm sorry, Shai. I shouldn't have brought it up. I'll retract that. That's fine. I completely get what happened there. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It feels like overall the draft order lent itself to just some major offseason chaos. By, you know, Portland and Washington not jumping up, Indiana not jumping up, Detroit not jumping up, Sacramento jumping up and maybe not getting one of the top three bigs. Like, I feel like there's going to be a ton of fireworks over the next month, and I'm excited for it. So
I am too. As long as the Bulls trade up for Tari Eason, I'm good with it.
There you go. As long as the Sixers have a pick in this year's draft, I'll maybe pay attention.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good place for us to wrap up. So thank you all, as always, for listening in today. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Morten.
You too, Brian. Don't die. And before we just sign off completely.
Yes.
So we need to make Beer Luca a thing.
I've been offline most of the day, but I just saw this. What is this?
He was in the Bay Area with Boban, and he was just pictured. They were at a restaurant, and he was just pictured having a beer. And, you know, people loved it because, like, they have a game later.
But I saw the map said it was an old picture, or is that not true?
Oh, no, don't. Really? I hadn't seen that. Ah, damn it. I thought it was today. That would have been so baller, and it would have been fantastic.
It's just having a nice lunch beer, and then it's going to light the Warriors up for 50 points.
Right. I didn't know that. Damn it. I thought, because if that had happened, if that was from today and he'd gone out and given the Mavericks a W and dropped like 40 or 50, then Beer Luca should be brought up in the same sentence as like Hoodie Mello.
All right. Catch you later, Bort.
Later, man.